Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. Today we're going to do a whole show answering some of the harder questions that have come in throughout the years.
Yeah, and everybody, I used to do a live call-in radio show for 10 years, and people would call in with all kinds of Bible questions, but I noticed when there was a lull and people weren't calling in, if I brought up one of three topics, the phones would light up: baptism, Catholicism, predestination. So on this show, we're going to try to answer some of the harder questions that, frankly, I'd rather not get into because it's so, and I hope I'm right on these things, but we're going to answer questions on those three issues, but then we'll get into lots of hard questions. So hit it, Mona. Go ahead.
All right. Our first question: do Lutherans teach that we are saved by baptism? I thought we weren't saved by any human work like baptism, but only by the grace of God.
Yeah, I'm a Lutheran. I believe we're only saved by the grace of God and by no human work. I don't think baptism is a human work. Mm-hmm. Baptism is not something I do for God. It's grace. It's something God does for me. So here's the way I understand baptism. What saves us ultimately is Christ's death on the cross. And He said it is finished when He died. That means that's our salvation. But Paul writes in Romans 6 that we are baptized into the saving death of Christ. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, baptism is connected with my salvation. And, you know, the big division in Christianity is you've got the Catholics, Lutherans, and the Episcopalians believing God does big things in baptism. You've got the Baptists, the Reformed people like the Presbyterians, and then there's Methodists, and the non-denominational churches tend to believe that baptism is just symbolic, whereas I believe He actually does stuff. I think that's biblical. Peter says in the book of Acts, be baptized and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peter says, rise and wash away your sins, getting baptized. So God does wonderful things. I think there's more than symbolism going on. So there you go.
Okay.
Oh, the other big division, some churches think you have to be old enough to understand Christ to be baptized, and others teach that you can baptize even infants, even children. I believe in infant baptism. The apostles in the book of Acts baptized whole households, it said. Mm-hmm. It never says in the Bible anywhere you have to be 16 years old before you can be baptized. That's nowhere in there. So there you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
I went to a funeral, and the pastor said my uncle, who didn't believe in God, was in heaven because he was baptized as a child. Is this what you believe?
You know, it is not what I believe. And I'll tell you, I'm a Lutheran. Some Lutheran pastors talk about baptism way too much. And you'll go to a Lutheran church, a funeral, and Uncle Joe hasn't been in church for 50 years, but the pastor says he's in heaven because he was baptized. No, no, no. Jesus said, he who endures to the end will be saved. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have a living faith in Christ when you die, you're in trouble. So I don't like that teaching either. I think that's a twisting of what we believe on baptism. Yeah.
Okay. Why do some churches sprinkle babies when the word for baptism in the New Testament means to be totally submerged in water?
And yes, that's what our Baptist friends teach. They say that baptizo, the Greek word for baptism, is to be totally submerged. It can mean that. Baptizo can also mean washing. Jesus said to the Pharisees, and He uses the word baptizo, you know, you wash your hands and plates, etc. Well, does that mean they were totally submerging the hands and plates? I don't think so. But I like total submersion. If I'm going to baptize an adult, you know, often we'll pour the water on them, and I'll do that because it never says you have to be totally submerged. But I prefer the symbolism of total baptism. You die to sin and you rise a new creature in Christ. So I like that. In fact, the Orthodox Church, and they baptize babies in the Orthodox Church, they totally submerge infants. I kind of like that too. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a Lutheran, but Dad was Catholic, and all of us kids got baptized Catholic. I don't know if they sprinkled or poured or whatever, but again, I don't think you have to have water for a baptism. Mm-hmm. You have to have the Word of God in a baptism in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So those are important. Getting totally submerged or not, let's not be too legalistic.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Bible says to repent and be baptized. Why do you baptize infants if they can't repent?
Yeah, well, Peter said that. You know, repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. You'll receive the Holy Spirit. So, but he was talking to adults. Mm-hmm. And then in the rest of the book of Acts, they're out preaching, and whole households get baptized. So if I'm talking to an adult, they do need to repent first. Mm-hmm. And you know what? The Baptists say, well, babies can't repent, babies can't believe. In the book of Psalms, David says, even on my mother's breast, Lord, I was trusting in thee. Mm-hmm. And little John the Baptist, who's the unborn inside of Elizabeth, mm-hmm. when Mary walks into the room with little unborn Jesus Christ, John the Baptist is leaping for joy in Elizabeth's womb.
True.
And it says John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. Mm-hmm. So it is possible for a baby to have the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. True.
Yeah.
Regarding predestination, if God chooses who is saved, who isn't? How is that fair?
Yeah, if you believe that God doesn't just know the future, but he actually predestines the future, mm-hmm. how is it fair that he chooses to save some and not save others? And this is about as complex an issue as there is in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And what I would encourage our viewers to do, read Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11, and then read it again. Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11, where Paul deals with this very issue. Mm-hmm. And Paul's basic response is, God is God. He's going to do what he wants. Mm-hmm. It's his clay.
Amen.
Yeah.
Next question. If everybody is predestined, why send out the missionaries?
Yeah, you hear this question. Well, if God is predestined, who's going to be saved? Mm-hmm. Why even send the missionaries out, because he's already predestined things? Well, the answer, I think there's an easy answer to this one. God not only predestines the end, who will be saved, he predestines the means to the end. And God has determined that the way his elect, his chosen ones, get saved is by the preaching of the gospel. That's why we send the missionaries out, because we don't know who's predestined, who isn't. Only God does. So our command is to go and preach the gospel to all the world, and then God does what he wants.
Okay.
Yeah.
Should I pray for the salvation of my unsaved loved ones? How do I know if they are predestined?
We don't know. Only the Lord knows that. But Mona, my response is, I have relatives I've been praying for 40, 50 years. Mm-hmm. I can't not pray for their salvation. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you were to hear me pray regularly, I'm praying for my prayer list. These loved ones that I grew up with or people I know, I pray for people's salvation all the time. I can't not.
Mm-hmm. Have some of them accepted the Lord?
Oh, they certainly have. And I think God uses our prayers mm-hmm. to bring people to Christ.
Definitely.
Yeah, yeah.
If God predestines everything, does he predestine my sin?
This is a hard mm-hmm. one. Because according to, is it the book of Ephesians, God does everything according to the counsel of his will. So God's in control of everything. So Mona, whoops, my microphone dropped. If I get drunk tonight, mm-hmm. can I say, well, God, you made me do that?
Yeah.
The Bible never allows that. And so I don't understand all this. Yes, God predestines everything. On the other hand, I am accountable for my own sin, mm-hmm. and I cannot blame God for that. Both of those things are true. How exactly they're both true at the same time, the Lord knows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Another question from a viewer. Do you believe the Catholic Church is a cult?
Yeah, now we talk about Catholicism. Well, I'm a Lutheran. Mm-hmm. I believe in the Reformation, because in 1520, the church was selling salvation with Tetzel, selling indulgences to build St. Peter's. I could go on and on. I won't. I have problems with Catholicism. I wouldn't put them in the class of a cult like I do the Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons, because I don't think that's I don't think Mormonism or Jehovah's Witnesses is Christianity at all. But the Catholic Church does believe in the Trinity. one God and three persons, Father, mm-hmm. Son, Holy Spirit. The Catholic Church does believe in the substitutionary atonement of Christ, that Christ died in our place for our sins. They believe in the bodily resurrection of Christ. They believe Christ will return in glory to judge the world. I know they've got purgatory indulgences, praying to Mary's scapulars. Mm-hmm. I could do a whole show on things I disagree with. But I think there are a lot of Catholic people that really do know the Lord.
Yes.
I think there are a lot that don't, and they're trusting their own good works for their salvation. But Mona, you got a lot of Lutherans that are doing that too. But so there are some conservative pastors that would call it a cult. I wouldn't say that. Mm-mm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Next question. Can you pray to Mary and the saints and truly be a Christian?
Again, that's a Catholicism question. I don't pray to Mary or the saints, because in the Bible you just pray to God.
Mm-hmm.
Can you pray, and the Catholics would say, well, we're not praying to Mary, we're praying through Mary. And I can ask you to pray for me. Why can't I ask Mary to pray for me? Mm-hmm. Well, because that's nowhere in Scripture. We don't know that the saints in heaven can hear us on earth. Maybe they do. We don't know they can, and we're never instructed to mm-hmm. pray to them. So if you're praying to, I had a Catholic guy who likes our TV show, stopped me at a store. He said, oh, Pastor Brock, I love your show. And he showed me this prayer that he had gotten, I think, probably from his church. And Michael the Archangel, I asked you to come protect me today. And he said to me, well, you said we shouldn't pray to angels, and so should I stop praying this prayer? And I said, I would tweak the prayer. I would say, God the Father, send the angels to protect me this day, etc. Mm-hmm. So I don't pray to angels. I don't pray to the saints. I just pray to God. Now, can you be wrong on that and still be saved? I think so. I think we're all going to find out on Judgment Day we had some things wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all going to have to drop baggage as we go into the pearly gates of things that we thought were right and they weren't. So I think you can still be saved and be theologically messed up, because aren't we all?
We are. We are.
There you go.
I committed a sexual sin and have repented, but I still have herpes. Will the Lord heal me? Is he punishing me?
Okay. Mona, if I rob a bank and I go to jail and I repent and I truly come to Christ and ask God to forgive me, I'm still doing my jail time. If I go out and have random sex and end up with herpes, AIDS, whatever, and I truly repent, God through Christ will forgive my sins. That doesn't mean the effects of my sin will be taken away.
Mm-hmm.
If I slug somebody in the eye and I blind him and I repent, God will forgive me in Christ, but I'll have to live with seeing that person for the rest of my life. So we are forgiven of all our sins through the blood of Christ, but we still have to put up with the consequences of our sin.
There are
consequences. And so the question is, okay, so now that I have herpes, is God still punishing me? I wouldn't see it as punishment anymore. Christ took our punishment.
Mm-hmm.
So having herpes is now called your discipline, your chastisement. He's not punishing you. Christ took your punishment, but he is disciplining you and reminding you that you need to follow the Lord.
Okay.
Yeah.
Next question. Mm-hmm. Do you believe masturbation is a sin?
Yeah. The reason that's a hard one is there is not a clear Bible verse that teaches masturbation is a sin. Some people point to Onan in the Old Testament, who spilled his seed on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
But the sin there was he was supposed to raise up children for his brother who died, and he spilled his seed on the ground because he didn't want that. And that's why God was angry at him, mm-hmm. not because he was masturbating. So the question is masturbation a sin? I think it is, because the Bible does talk about lust and sensuality as being sinful. I'm guessing most people don't masturbate without thinking on stuff that they probably shouldn't be thinking of, or having images of people they shouldn't be fantasizing about. So that's my opinion. I think it's a sin, but there you go. Yeah.
Next question.
Yeah, please, quick.
My friend had a baby who went through horrible pain. Then the baby died at about 8 months. Why did God allow that?
Mm-hmm. Why did God allow 6 million Jews to die in World War II? Why did God allow my 8-month-old baby to die of terrible pain? These are the hardest ones.
Mm-hmm.
This is called the problem of evil. How do you reconcile a good God with a very evil universe?
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have the full answer to that, but we have part of the answer. This was not God's original plan. Mm-hmm. Sin, death, destruction, damnation was brought upon us by Adam and Eve bringing sin into this world. Mm-hmm. Now we're stuck with this. But, yeah, and now I think there's some hard questions about Adam and Eve coming up. But go ahead, that's next.
2 Samuel 24 says that the Lord moved David to number Israel. But 1 Chronicles 21 says that Satan moved David to number Israel. So was it the Lord or Satan?
Yeah.
Isn't the Bible contradicting itself?
Yeah, now we're going to talk about, are there seeming contradictions in the Bible? Because Chronicles and Kings often are telling you the same story.
Mm-hmm.
But in one, the anger of the Lord moved David to number Israel. In the other one, it was the devil mm-hmm. who moved David to number Israel. Well, which is what? Was it God or the devil? And the answer is both. Mm-hmm. God can use the devil for his purposes. I know that sounds weird, mm-hmm. but if you think of the book of Job, the mm-hmm. first three chapters, God let Satan do his thing on Job, but God held the leash and said, okay, Job, you can hit his body, but you can't take his life.
Mm-hmm.
And you can hit his property, but you can't take him. So I think who moved David to number Israel? God allowed the devil to tempt him to do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
How many stalls for horses did Solomon have? 1 Kings says 40,000. 2 Chronicles says 4,000.
Yeah, and this happens a few times in the Bible, and it's not on big doctrinal things. It's on little things like how many horses did Solomon have.
Mm-hmm.
But there is that seeming contradiction between 1 Kings and 2 Chronicles. It's the same account, and one says 4,000 horse stalls, and the other says 40,000 horses. Well, so what's going on here? And when we say we believe in the infallibility of Scripture, mm-hmm. we don't mean every single copy that happened hundreds of years later. We mean the original manuscripts. So we believe in the original manuscripts, the Bible is infallible. There's no error.
Mm-hmm.
But could a monk in the Middle Ages have had his quill slip and write 40,000 instead of 4,000? We know that happened because there's a few places in the Bible like that. We don't have the most ancient manuscripts, but there's a whole science called textual criticism. We have lots of Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have lots of Old Testament. We have lots of New Testament copies that are real early, and you compare them against each other, and you can kind of see where somebody slipped and where he didn't. But it's amazing how many New Testament ancient manuscripts we've got.
Okay.
Yeah.
In what order did the devil tempt Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
Luke 4 and Matthew 4 have the three temptations in a different order.
Okay. Again, the devil says, Jesus, turn the rocks into bread, jump off the temple, fall down and worship me.
Mm-hmm.
In the other gospel, it's turn the rocks into bread, fall down and worship me, jump off the temple.
Mm-hmm.
So there's two different orders. What's going on here? Well, in America, I mean, in Western thought, we're very orderly, but sometimes the gospel writers arrange things topically rather than chronologically.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for instance, in the book of John, Jesus cleanses the temple near the beginning of his ministry.
Mm-hmm.
In the other gospels, he does it at the end of his ministry. Some people reconcile and say, well, he did it twice. Possible, but it's okay to arrange things topically rather than chronologically, and I think that goes on sometimes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I raised my child to be a Christian, and now as an adult, he has rejected the Lord. What is going on?
Yeah. I know two pastors, and they're wonderful pastors.
Mm-hmm.
And their children have rejected Christ. And they raised these kids to be Christians. So what's going on? If Proverbs, 22, if Proverbs 22 says, raise your children Christian, they're going to be Christian,
mm-hmm.
what happened to my child?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a couple ways to look at this. The book of Proverbs is giving general truths.
Mm-hmm.
These things are generally true. You raise your kids for the Lord, they generally stay with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But the book of Job is an exception. Well, Job was following the Lord, and boy, did he get hit with suffering.
Mm-hmm.
So Proverbs gives general truths, and so you can't make it in every single instance. That's one way to answer it. Mm-hmm. Here's the other way to answer it. It ain't over till it's over.
Exactly.
If you raise that child a Christian, when he is old, he will not depart from it. Mm-hmm. So maybe when he gets old, he'll come back to Christ. And the second issue was, when he is old, he will not depart from it. Maybe he never really accepted Christ or was trained in it at all. And, you know, because kids can go like this to Christ too. So, mm-hmm. Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was told, in faith, claim my healing, because Psalms 103, verse 2 says, God heals all your diseases. I have prayed in faith for years, and I still have my disease. What is going on?
Psalm 103:2, God heals all your diseases. Mm-hmm. And some Christians are like this. Therefore, Lord, I claim that I don't have cancer anymore, and I just believe I'm not going to ever have cancer, and then they die of cancer. Mm-hmm. Well, what happened? Well, some of our diseases he heals down here, some he heals up there. So I think you can be a strong Christian with full faith and die of cancer. I don't think God heals all our diseases means, I mean, it says in the Old Testament, now Elisha, when he became ill of the illness of which he was to die. Now Elisha raised people from the dead, mm-hmm. but he still died of an illness. Mm-hmm. You've got Paul saying to Timothy, take a little wine for the sake of your frequent stomach ailments. He doesn't say name it and claim it or where's your faith. He says, take your medicine. Mm-hmm. So more charismatic churches believe that, or the prosperity gospel on TV, those mm-hmm. preachers are really big on, you're going to name and claim, I'm going to get money, I'm going to get perfect health. I don't think the New Testament teaches that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
If my spouse cheated on me, doesn't the Bible teach I am free to divorce and then marry someone else?
Yeah, the question is, how do we understand what's called the exception clause in Matthew 18, mm-hmm. where Mark and Luke say, Jesus says, if you divorce someone and marry another, you're committing adultery. Mm-hmm. But Matthew has an exception clause. If you get divorced except for fornication and marry somebody else, then you're committing adultery. Some people think that means if your spouse cheats on you, you have the right to find someone new and remarry. I don't think that's what it means. And I don't doubt the faith of the people that believe like that. When I was a young preacher, I believed like that too. But looking at the text again, I think you're free to divorce if your spouse cheats on you. But I don't think you're free to remarry. Because Jesus said if you marry someone who's been divorced, you're committing adultery. So if you're watching this and you got divorced, live as a single Christian. Read 1 Corinthians 7. You can have a wonderful life being a single Christian. If your prior spouse dies, then I think you're free to remarry. Mm-hmm. But even if he's alive, even if he's remarried somebody new, I'd stay single. You want to read Matthew 18 and 1 Corinthians 7.
Okay.
Yeah.
Another letter from a viewer. If someone is threatening physical violence against their spouse, doesn't that spouse have the right to protect herself and get a divorce?
I think that she does have the right to protect herself, and that if it has to be a divorce, okay. Mm-hmm. But again, then I'd still stay single. 1 Corinthians 7, Paul's dealing with this, and he says, now, a wife is not to divorce her husband, but if she does, then stay single. Mm-hmm. So maybe the words, if she does, realizes there are circumstances like this mm-hmm. where she's got to get out of the house or he's going to kill her. Mm-hmm. You know. So I think that's proper.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does the wife have to submit to her husband if he is telling her to sin?
Yeah. You know, in the New Testament it says, wives, submit yourself to your own husbands as unto the Lord. So overwhelmingly, the wife is to respect and submit to her husband. What if he tells her to go rob a bank? Mm-hmm. Or I heard of one woman whose husband wanted her to have sex with another man so he could watch. Mm. Do you submit to that? You do not. Mm. You say what the apostles said in, what is it, Acts 4? We must obey God rather than man. Mm-hmm. So, no, a wife does not have to sin if her husband is telling her to sin. Having said that, a lot of what your husband wants you to do is not a sin. So there you go. Okay.
When Jesus died on the cross, was it just his human nature that died and not his divine nature? Is it proper to say that God died on the cross?
This is maybe the hardest question of all for this show. We believe Jesus is fully God and fully man. Mm-hmm. When he died on the cross, did just his human nature die, or did the God nature die in mm-hmm. Christ as well? And I had to study on this a little bit. Like R.C. Sproul, who was a Calvinist scholar, and I think the early church believed that when Christ died on the cross, his human nature died. Mm-hmm. But God is unchangeable. God does not die. But I think Luther and some others said, well, in a sense, God did die. What gave Christ's sacrifice such power, it wasn't just the death of a man. It was the death of the God-man, mm-hmm. which covers our sins. Mm-hmm. So this one, I think we should have some grace with each other on how exactly do we understand this. My 10 cents is, did the Son of God stop existing for 3 days? Well, he died. And can you really, Jesus is one person, fully God, fully man. You really can't divide that. But he did go and preach to the spirits. So even though he died, he still in some sense was there. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Mm-hmm. In the spirit. That's the best I can do. That's a hard one.
Difficult question.
Yeah.
If Jesus is God, who was he talking to in the Garden of Gethsemane? Himself?
Yeah. People who deny the Trinity don't like... And again, let's talk. The Trinity means there's one God in three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The Father who made us, Jesus who died, the Holy Spirit. All three are God, all three eternal. And the people say, Jehovah's Witnesses are who I'm thinking of. The Bible never uses the word Trinity. My response is, you're right, the word isn't in the Bible. The concept is all over the Bible.
Yeah.
So anyway, so who is he talking to in the garden? Himself? No, but this is the mystery of the Trinity. Even though there's only one God in the garden, you had God the Son talking to God the Father.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't like the way Jesus talked to his mother. Wasn't he rude sometimes?
Woman, what does that have to do with me? You know, sometimes he got a little stern with Mary, but we got to remember, you know, he was God in human form, and sometimes he had to say no to his mother. So there you go. Yeah.
I had a dream once in which Jesus appeared to me and told me something, but it didn't come true. Was that really Jesus in my dream? Why would God allow me to be deceived?
I think you can have a dream, and Jesus appears to you and says, move to California.
Mm-hmm.
And you wake up and, well, was that Jesus? And I think you've got to test it, because the Bible says Satan can appear as an angel of light.
Mm-hmm.
So you just have to test everything against Scripture. Well, Mona, we handled some kind of heavy-duty ones today. And I hope I'm right. But everybody, just thanks for watching our program. You can go to pastorstudy.org. We have all of our TV shows there if you want to watch them for free. Pray for us. We'd rather not withdraw from stations, but our nest egg is going down. So if the Lord nudges you to give, you can do that at that website. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you for watching the Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write the Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.